everyone. My name is Jason Dingus. Welcome to Lost Rhetoric, a dim space for light hearts, where we discuss all manner of odd. This week, my guest is Suzanne Hogan from the band Nature Boys and the podcast A People's History of Kansas City. That's right. She is a Kansas City, Missouri native, and her band and her podcast are fucking awesome, and I highly recommend you listen to both of them. This week, no surprise, will be Kansas City-centric. We will be talking Jim the Wonder Dog, mostly, probably some other stuff. I don't know. I haven't talked to her just yet. But Jim was a wild-ass dog that could do some crazy-ass shit. That's all I can really say. I don't know everything about him, but we're about ready to learn together. So stay tuned for that. First, we got to get into what we always get into. Last week, my episode about the Dulce Wars, the human-alien battle of Dulce, New Mexico with Matt Whitman, didn't exactly go as planned. If you listened, you noticed that he abruptly left because he had prior engagements that he did not let me know about. So I'm kind of left hanging there. I had to finish the episode by myself. It still turned out pretty good, if I do say so myself. Could have been better, but, you know, it's still a good episode, I think. So go back, give it a listen if you haven't already. But if you did listen, let's give you a little recognition here. Let's get into the top five. Who listened to that episode, episode 38, the most? Coming in at number five, Rosemount, Minnesota. Never been in the top five. Thank you, Rosemount. That is awesome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Number four, Beaverton, Oregon. Still in the top five. Thank you, Beaverton. Number three, Columbus, Ohio. I don't think you've ever been in the top five either. So thank you, Columbus. Number two, Richmond, Virginia. Really hanging in strong. And number one, Portland, Oregon. Thank you, Portland, for always being there for me. I really appreciate all you guys for listening. And seriously, if you haven't listened to the episode, go back, give it a listen. It actually is really good. Matt's a great guest, and he is still a good friend for now. So what have I been listening to? This week, I'm going to start with John Moreland, who is an excellent singer-songwriter from the Oklahoma area, Tulsa, Oklahoma, I believe, specifically. I had the privilege of playing a show with him a few years ago. He has an album out from, I can't even remember the year, called In the Throes, which is such a great record. It is the record that turned me on to him, and it's still in constant rotation. I love that album. But the one that I've been listening to this week is his newest album called EP5, and it's out on Old Omens Records. And I can't really describe, yeah, whatever. He's a great singer-songwriter in the country folk arena, you know? I feel like he's one of the most underrated songwriters of our time. He writes amazing stuff. And he plays most of the instruments, or he used to. I didn't really look at the credits of this record, but I know on his older stuff, he would play most of the instruments. He's a multi-talented guy. And just check him out if you're into, kind of countrified indie folk stuff. I don't fucking know, man. I'm terrible. I am terrible at describing music if you haven't caught on to that. All right. Next thing I've been listening to, Regional Justice Center has a new album, a newish album called Crime and Punishment, out on Closed Casket Activities. Now they're the first winner of the coveted award of Worst Band Name, Best Album Cover Award. And, the album cover's fucking great. Band name, whatever. I'm not one to talk. All of my band names are terrible. And, of course, as soon as I started thinking, oh, man, that's a pretty shitty band name, I looked into it. And, of course, it means something You know, the main guy behind Regional Justice Center, it's a personal story about his younger brother who got caught up in the prison system at a young age. And it obviously, it means you don't have a name like Regional Justice Center and it doesn't, it's just not random, you know. It means something to this guy. And, you know, it shows in the music. It's real intense. It's, you know, it's grindy. It's fast. It's heavy. It's groovy. It's fucking brutal. It's great music. Good stuff. So I highly recommend Regional Justice Center, Crime and Punishment. Check it out. Fake Fruit. Self-titled album out on Rocks in Your Head Records. Kind of an indie punk outfit, I think, from the Bay. I'm not exactly sure. Should have looked into that more. But they kind of remind me of Courtney Barnett, if you ever listen to Courtney Barnett. They kind of give off this Courtney Barnett vibe. I don't know. Got like this 90s feel, but somehow... very fresh and new, like you've never heard it before, but it sounds a little familiar. I don't know, but it's just really good stuff. So check out Fake Fruit. And the last thing I've been listening to, I finally broke and decided to check out Phoebe Bridgers. I saw her on Saturday Night Live and I thought the songs were good. And I was like, oh, I should probably listen to her. She seems like something I'd be into. So I checked out a couple of her albums. I think they're both out on Dead Oceans Records. And she's very, you know, Elliot Smith-ish in the tone. Sounds pretty sad most of the time, but excellent songs. I mean, she's getting really popular, so I feel like I don't really have to say too much about her. But yeah, she's actually really good. I went into the catalog and I checked her out, and she actually is excellent. So I'm glad I did. And check out Phoebe Bridgers. And that's what I have been listening to this week. You can find all this, or some of the songs I'm going to post from each of these musicians, on the Spotify playlist by searching LR039. It'll be a good time. It'll be collaborative. You can add songs if you feel like it. So let's get into the exhumed excerpts from the Tomb of the Promulgated. This week is pretty interesting. I search my sources and just kind of randomly look. There's no rhyme or reason when I look up these things. But this week, since it's kind of a pet-friendly episode, I was thinking, man, if I could find a little story about an animal or something like that, that would be excellent. That would be great. But what I did about the fifth or sixth article I checked out, and I was looking in the APRO bulletins again, I found a Missouri story, and it's kind of an animal story as well, and it was just too fitting. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to read this little blurb from the July-August 1972 issue of the APRO Bulletin, and it turned out to be a bigger story than I thought from my initial read of this little blurb. So the title, or the heading, is The Missouri Monster. And it goes as such. News stories out of Louisiana, Missouri recount claims that a big, smelly, black-haired creature is lurking in the woods near the Edgar Harrison home. The only actual witnesses to the creature were the Harrison children, Terry, 8, who was outside and saw it just 50 feet from the house, just inside the woods. His scream brought sister Doris, 15, to the bedroom window, and she saw the creature also. This incident took place about July 10th. Other townspeople allegedly heard the creature's screams and growls, but beyond the fleeting observation of the Harrison children, there have been no other witnesses. The monster caught the public's fancy, and one enterprising, quote, UFO researcher, unquote, attempted to hook up the sighting of the creature to UFOs with no success. The local Tucson Daily Citizen contacted APRO concerning the UFO angle, and Mrs. Lorenzen referred them to Ivan T. Sanderson, noted author and biologist, who asserted that the creature was quite likely similar to the Yeti, Sasquatch, and ABSMs, which are indigenous to Earth and make their homes in the rainforests around the world. Although there is no connection between the Missouri monster and UFOs or aerial phenomena, we include this item because of the many requests for information which have come into headquarters. And that's the whole story, but the reason why I wanted to read that is I'm going to segue this into the top of our conversation tonight. Suzanne has no idea that I'm going to bring this up, but this monster is part of Missouri lore, and I'm going to ask her about it here in a second. So, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but here it is, man. Here's me and Suzanne. We're going to be talking this Missouri monster, and she doesn't know. And then after that, we're going to talk Jim the Wonder Dog.
I just blame everything on allergies and yeah. The pandemic. Like, so it's like probably depression or allergies.
Well, I'm feeling like, yeah, a little bit of that, maybe a little cabin fever or something. Yeah. You know, you never know. Who fucking knows? But with me tonight, Suzanne Hogan. Hello, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Hello, Jason. I'm doing better now that I can see you and get to talk to you.
Yeah, I just dropped that on you. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. I thought we were going to turn off our video too. So
nah, we're keeping it.
Okay, fine.
So fuck it. But yeah, Suzanne Hogan, I already mentioned you in my intro because I'm the kind of fellow that likes to do my intro first. I mean, not all the time, but tonight I did. So everyone already knows.
What did it say? I didn't get to hear it. What does it say?
You'll hear it when it comes out tomorrow.
Okay, fine.
Well, I mentioned your awesome band, Nature Boys, and I mentioned your awesome podcast, A People's History of Kansas City, and I recommended that everyone listen to it.
Cool. Thanks. Also, we have a new record, actually, that's going to be coming out, too. Nature Boys.
No shit. Record
that'll be coming out in a couple months.
And you spill any of the details or?
Oh, I guess I just don't know the details. Well, we recorded it and it's already like with the label. This label Dead Broke Records is helping us put it out. And so they've got all the stuff I think we're just waiting on the pressing plant, but I think maybe it'll be like April or May.
Sweet. That's great.
Yeah.
And, tour TBD, just like
yes,
everyone else.
Tour is very, it's hilarious. You know what? Can I just say something about that? Like,
yeah.
As a person who tours a lot or whatever, like, it's maddening to me how many people have been like, that, cause I think that's just what they're used to asking me about. They're like, so you got any shows coming up or any tours? I'm like, have you fucking looked outside? Do you read the newspaper? Like, no. Like, what yeah. do you, I think that's just like people. It's like what they, especially like, you know, people who are maybe I'm not as close with, it's like a way to be like checking, like asking a general question about how I'm doing. But it's just like, there are not shows happening. I don't know what you think.
it's very weird because you get on like I'll see on Instagram, especially like around the Super Bowl, they'll be like so-and-so rapper sold out club show in Florida. I'm like, how is this happening? Yeah. Why is this happening? Why is this allowed to happen?
What also, the fuck like,
is going on?
We got asked to play a show last summer, like an outdoor show thing. And we were just like,
yeah, that's been happening.
No, I mean, I don't, I'm not going to pass judgment on other people who are doing that or whatever. I don't know, whatever. I don't know. But
I feel like it can be done safely if it's not a big deal and it's not like,
like acoustic stuff or like kind of chill. But like, we're really wet, kind of gross,
sweaty,
like,
band,
you know,
yeah.
sweaty band. Like, no, I just don't see any way that would be enjoyable. And like, also people having to be like far apart from each other and not enjoying it together. I don't know. We're gonna wait.
It would be pretty weird. It would be nice as a fan though, just to see bands play even from a distance. If you're a big enough fan, be like, oh, there they are, 10 feet, 15, 20 feet away. That's great. And you know, I'm in a bubble. The Flaming Lips bubble concert is a great idea, but you know, you have to be the Flaming Lips to pull something like that off.
Yeah, I feel like we don't need to be doing that right now. We're just chilling.
Yeah, then everyone just chill out. We'll do all the live streams and we'll do all the podcasts that we can, and live shows will come back. I mean, sooner or later.
Yeah. But the record is exciting. We're excited for that because we were able to get pull that off. So
I feel like a lot of bands have been coming out with very successful records without being able to tour, which is crazy because people got nothing but time to listen and talk about it and spread the word. So, I mean, maybe some bands have benefited. I mean, not financially, but at least some bands have blown up this year and haven't been able to tour, which is like a crazy thing to think about.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with us. I mean, I know people are excited for new music because it's something that's like, you know, harder to pull off, it at least in the DIY circuit, you know. So
yeah, man. Well, I'm looking forward to when you guys come to Portland, because you know, I'll come mask and all.
Cool. I'm looking forward to not being in Kansas City some days.
Well, let's get this thing started. In the intro, I do this thing called the exhumed excerpts from the tomb of the promulgated, where I like pull up a random story and from the past and just retell it because it's been forgotten. And I already went through it, but I pulled up this story about the Missouri Monster. And I wanted to bring it up to you before we got into Jim the Wonder Dog, because
tell me about the Missouri Monster.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to ask if you knew about the Missouri Monster, because I pulled up this old episode or old issue of the APRO Bulletin from 1972. And this was fresh off the heels of the first sighting of what is now known as Momo, the Missouri Monster. Momo. Really cute name. But that was my cat Ohio, who just passed away. That was his, my wife calls him Mo, or called him Momos and Momo. But I thought that was very special as well. So I'm glad I found this little story. But he was first seen in Louisiana, Missouri, which I also think is a cool tie because Jim the Wonder Dog is originally from Louisiana. So it's like this little blurb that I found is just layered. But anyway, yeah, it's just like this big 7-foot, really stinky, hairy beast that these children saw. And this is the only negative, sad animal thing I'm going to talk about all night. But apparently it was carrying a bloody dead dog in its jowls.
Oh.
But, you know, whatever. That's just according to some fucking children.
Suzanne. What? So what era are we talking about here?
This is 1972.
What year are we talking about?
1972.
Huh.
Yeah. And this
I
is
do
the...
not. I really want to. It's taking everything to not like
not
turn off this conversation and like start looking it up. But I'm trying to stay present with you. So
I just wanted to bring it up.
Is it like, what did it? I have so many questions.
just know
why
that...
was it a monster? I mean, what? Because it was misunderstood.
It was 7 foot tall, hairy beast with glowing orange eyes. Apparently its hair was like covering its whole body, and it had so much fur on its head that you couldn't really see its face, just its glowing eyes. And it was carrying this bloody dead dog. And some subsequent reports came after these children saw who is now known as Momo. But then they kind of stopped pretty quickly. And someone actually took the footprint of what they had found and had it analyzed.
Whoa.
For the director of the Oklahoma City Zoo deemed the tracks to be that of an unknown primate species.
Shut up. They got the zoo involved?
Yeah, well, the Oklahoma Zoo. I don't know why it had to go all the way to Oklahoma City. I don't know if that's like the closest, best zoo.
I don't know where Louisiana, Missouri is. So maybe it's in the southern area. You know what? That doesn't make sense. I mean, our black bear population has been increasing quite a bit in the past few decades, which in that era, they didn't really think that there were black bears here because they'd been hunted, it's overly hunted. So maybe it was some bear hybrid, bear monster.
Or just a bear.
Maybe just a fucking bear. But you would think that a person working at the zoo would be able to recognize a bear poop.
Yeah,
But I
don't know when these tracks were found. It just says that tracks were found and submitted to Lawrence Curtis, director of the Oklahoma City Zoo, and he deemed the tracks to be of an unknown primate species. At one point, it was said there was a 20-person mob that was put together to kill the thing, but they never found it because there were enough sightings where the people were a little bit freaked out by this thing.
Isn't that so, like, the way that we are, that we find something that we don't know what it is, and it's, like, not, you know, like, a documented species, and instead of trying to, like, learn anything about it, we're just like, let's kill it.
Yeah, kill it. Yeah, we gotta kill it. Well, I think I talked about this, I say this every episode, I think I talked about this in the past episode, it's kill it or fuck it. It's like, seriously, it's like, you come across an alien, alien, quote unquote, alien species, and maybe the first thing you do, you eventually just have sex with it and breed. You know, I mean, I had a whole.
That's
episode.
Funny. I would not have gone there, but now that you've mentioned it, I'll try to, like, think about that more. I mean, with like any type of species.
Well, the example, because I did a whole episode about sex with aliens, and and the folks who have claimed to have had sexual relationships with, like, consensual, eventually consensual, depending on who you're talking to. And, but one of the examples that we brought up is human beings and Neanderthals, when they first encountered each other, they're essentially alien to each other. But what's the first thing they do? I mean, I'm sure they killed each other, but they bred, they had sex and had a bunch of children the bloodline is still in most of the population of the world.
Yes.
But it's just like, oh, you encounter a whole new species, you're going to, you know, fight or fuck, I guess. I don't know. Or both.
Fuck. Okay. as long as it's not kill, then fuck. Oh, that's really cool.
Ugh, that's pretty twisted, Suzanne.
That's what I was confused when he first said it, because I was like, wait a minute, the order of that. But yeah, okay.
yeah.
Well, I'll have to go back and listen to that episode. I listened to the, which one did I listen to? I started to listen to the one about ayahuasca.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I didn't finish it, but.
It's a good one. Andy Barden. I hope he comes back one day, but that was a great episode. He's got to experience a bunch more stuff so I can do an update episode. He's gonna have a few more sits. But Jim the Wonder Dog, eh?
Yeah, okay. So, all right, let me ask you a
question. What's the deal with him?
Well, okay, had you ever heard of Jim the Wonder Dog before I suggested talking about it?
No, because episode, I believe, 7 of your podcast is the Jim the Wonder Dog episode.
Okay, let me ask this question a different way. If there was a documented dog in history that seemed to have psychic abilities and could answer questions such, who could predict the Kentucky Derby winner and identify different people and do, like, all these amazing identify different tree species. Like, if this dog existed, don't you think that that is the type of thing that everyone would know about and be excited about? Like, wouldn't that be a national treasure? A global phenomenon.
you would like to think so. Today it's so hard to get noticed by, like, on a mass scale, unless you're, like, scantily clad and have a very influential Instagram
profile. For Jim's sake, I mean, I'm happy that he didn't exist in this era, because I feel like we would have destroyed him, you know.
Oh,
like,
he would be toast. Yeah.
Like, they would have dissected him or ruined the magic and mystery of it in the first place by, like, trying to, like, figure out how he could do what he did. But the thing was, so this was, like, the 1920s, right. So, like, people's ability, I mean, he was written about in the newspapers, people knew about him around
he was
here,
national
like,
news
Missouri. Yeah, he was national news. But he wasn't, I mean, he's our official state wonder dog as of recent, which I would like
Yeah.
to say we are. Missouri is the only state with an official state wonder dog, that being Jim. He is not the only wonder dog. There are
Was going to
other wonder
say.
dogs. Well, so you came across the story of Bobby the Wonder Dog.
Bobby the Wonder Dog from Silverton,
Who's
Oregon.
so yeah, is that close to you?
Yes, that is
Is
45, about 45 minutes south of Portland. Is a very, very lovely town. And Bobby is highly celebrated. We go to Silverton quite often.
So people know about Bobby and talk and like tell the
Yes.
story of Bobby. So, and that's
Yes.
true of Jim too. So in Marshall, Missouri, where Jim ended up, like and where he's buried, the town of Marshall, Missouri very much celebrates and tells the story of Jim. But outside of that, it's, hardly known. And
Who's
it's also,
Jim? Yeah.
yeah, and it's also kind of treated as like this, like, I feel like it gets put in this category of like, oh, some dumb story about a smart dog or something, like, oh, because that couldn't possibly be true, or like, or who, that's so silly, or this or that. But it's like to d dismiss it in that way completely misunderstands like the power of what he was able to do. And like, I'm not here, okay, I feel like I should back up.
Okay.
So he then, and I should give credit, my friend, Frank Schlegel, who's like a Jim super freak. Basically, once you learn about Jim's story, you become a super freak, I feel like, if you like
Yeah.
get Jim. If
I'm
you're the type of person who's gonna get Jim.
so into Jim, and your friend Frank, who was in your episode, he I'm like in his camp about like where how freaked out, not freaked out, but how excited everyone should have been about Jim. And it was a wasted
Yeah.
opportunity. Like your buddy Frank is, I think, right. But you know, we can get into that in a
Well,
second.
so to set it up a little bit, like my friend Frank basically, so I work for the public radio station in Kansas City, right? And like he knows that he's my friend. And for, I want to say like the past 10 years, he's been trying to get me to do a story on Jim the Wonder Dog because he's like a Jim freak, a super freak. And so, like, and I sit in like news meetings, right, where we're deciding like what we're gonna pitch to talk, do a story about. And I tried to pitch this story for a very long time, and like basically was just treated like, "Are you serious, Suzanne? No, you're not gonna like, no, like there's
That's so
other things."
crazy. That's so it's such a good story.
But so then, like to keep kind of like keep it alive, Frank sent me this book that was written about Jim's life. So, like, so he kept kind of feeding me materials. And so then finally, when I got to do this People's History podcast, I think like we had an episode fall through, and I'd kind of already just done the Jim episode because I was just going to try to slip it in at the end. And they were like, "Oh, you already have something done? Cool." And so I did it. And then it's actually been our most popular episode that I've done, which is just goes to show. But basically, the reason Frank is such a freak about it, and I think like why I've become one as well, and I think other people, because it gets at this bigger question. It's not just about a dog who was really good, a really obedient dog. He was a really good dog. I mean, he was well behaved, but he could do things that were unexplainable. Even his own master would say he couldn't understand how he was able to do what he did, which brings up this question. Where did Jim come from? Or like, how was Jim able to do these things? And if he is this superhuman, or like has this type of intelligence that is beyond anything that we could ever understand, and like, what does it mean that there was a dog that had superpowers or could do magic? And like, why didn't we try to understand that more, or why haven't we tried to understand that more, I guess.
Yeah, and it's too late. Now all we can do is speculate, you know? But let's get into how Jim became
Yeah.
the wonder dog, because we're definitely talking about how amazing he is, but let's kind of start from the top. I guess he was born in 1925, so he's a Depression era dog, and we mentioned he
Yes.
was from Louisiana. And he's a, how do you say it? He's a,
A Llewellyn Setter. He's a
Llewellyn
Llewellyn
Sellers.
Setter. And so Sam Van Arsdale, this guy, he was in Hotels. Apparently, there's also kind of like a little bit of lore around where Jim came from. Like, he wasn't really sure where, how Jim arrived at his doorstep, but basically a puppy, he was sent a puppy, Jim. And it's written that like he thought maybe it was because so Sam Van Arsdale is like a big time hunter. He would travel all around and hunt. And so he thinks it was maybe sent from this guy that he had met somewhere along the line who was really trying to get him to get this dog some dog from this litter, but it was like really expensive and he was kind of like whatever. But then eventually just one day randomly he gets sent this puppy and he's like, oh, maybe it was that traveling salesman dude that was like talking to me about stuff. And it was like, so there, we don't really know for certain where Jim came from, according to the way the story goes.
I also read that he was given Jim possibly as a joke because Jim was like the runt of the litter, and the rest of his litter was sold for like twice as much as Jim could have been sold for or something. I don't know. I mean, it could be
That's
true.
also an element of the story too. And there's like parts of this story that can be verified and parts that can't. Like, so this I cannot be verified. I mean, this is just the way the story goes. Like the
He's got
way that,
mysterious beginnings, this guy,
yes, yes
this
that the
gym
way
guy.
that Sam told it, you know. But so I guess what happened was, I forget, I think he gave it to like his niece or something to raise the puppy. And then once the puppy was older, it was sent to some type of training school and basically like to become like like a good hunting dog basically. And he was not a very good dog at the training school just because he didn't care. Like the way that this one lady who wrote a recent Jim kind of more fact-based Jim account, because it cites articles and stuff, as opposed to the most popular Jim book, which is written in Jim's perspective, which is problematic. But
Right, the first dog perspective.
so yeah, I feel like I'm going all over the place. But like, yeah, so this book by Clarence Dewey Mitchell, who had met Jim and knew Sam, the owner, wrote this book to like try to keep Jim's story alive as a way to like honor Jim's accomplishments or whatever. But he wrote it from Jim's perspective, so it's
So
like,
terrible.
so it's really, you know, kind of discrediting because Jim was amazing, but he could not write a book.
Right. Yeah, he
But
didn't
he's
he didn't like tell the author. He wasn't interviewed, you know what I mean? Like he couldn't.
actually, I think
I
I
mean,
kind of
maybe.
want to see if this works if I play this. This is how the book actually starts.
Jim could have written a
Wait.
better book, possibly. I can't hear it, Suzanne.
You can't hear it?
I
Oh,
can't
damn.
hear
Okay.
it.
Oh, it's all right. Never mind. Well, basically, he's like, I well remember the home where I was born. It was in a kennel, and the master gave me his old shirt. And it's like, it's just kind of dumb. And
It's
he
from a
also maybe
dog's
says some kind
perspective,
of, well, and it's like, he also says some kind of like maybe potentially in the territory of like sexist and maybe racist things too, that you're like,
Wow.
okay, a dog did not, like,
What
that is
the
Clarence Dewey Mitchell. That is not Jim.
Yeah.
So,
Jesus Christ.
it
You
really
guys punching in
is
his own
unfortunate.
agenda there. Yeah.
But okay, so, but what we do know is that he went to this training school or whatever and like didn't seem to care about the training, was just kind of like laying around and like seemed just kind of like a lazy bad dog. And so he Sam Van Arsdale still's like, well, I'll try to take this dog on a hunting trip just to see how he does or whatever. And Jim's like not doing too much. He's just kind of walking around. It's like a really, really hot day. And Sam is like, man, it's so hot. I want to go find a hickory tree to go lay down by. And then Jim goes to a hickory tree and like lays down by it or something. And he's like, whoa, is that just like some weird thing? I happen to say this aloud and the dog knows what a hickory tree is. So then he decides to like try some other stuff. I was like, all right, how about an elm tree? And then Jim goes right over to an elm tree. How about a red bud, a cherry tree? And Jim goes to all these different trees and like goes directly to it. So this the way the story goes is Sam is like, whoa, this dog can identify trees. That's pretty incredible. So then he starts using him to be like, well, Jim, go get the quail. And Jim starts taking him right to where the quail is. And it turns out he was like a really, really good hunting dog. Because Sam would just say, ask him to go direct him to where these quail were.
Right.
So the way, which, okay. And my, my partner is an arborist, and like we've been working on, or one thing we do sometimes is like, be like, oh, what kind of tree is that? You know, it's like a game we play, play with him. Like, because it's really hard to identify certain trees. So like the idea that a dog could identify different trees is pretty shocking. But also, like, you know, Sam was the only person there to be able to like verify this story as truth. But what ended up happening is that Sam started showing off Jim's talents, like when he'd go into different towns. He later owned a hotel in Marshall, Missouri, but like I said, he worked in a hotel, so he was kind of like traveling around the region a lot, and he'd hunt around a lot, and he would just take Jim with him. And I think like just in the lobby, kind of be like, hey, you want to see, like, let me show you what my cool dog can do, basically. And he'd get, you know, a crowd would gather, and he'd just be like, what's an example? Like, Jim, if you were sick, who would you go to? And Jim would go up and put his paw on like the doctor in the crowd.
That's amazing.
Jim, if you've done something wrong, who would you go to? And he'd go up and put his paw on the preacher in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, there's someone here who doubts your abilities. And he'd go up and put his paw on the biggest skeptic.
Right.
Like, these are all like tales that people, so, because this was like the 1920s, right? So in Marshall, Missouri, anybody who would have experienced what Jim has done has since died. But the generation, like, thankfully, I think it was like in the 90s, before a lot of people had passed, they got like these oral histories of people telling stories about what they remembered Jim doing. And like, I mean, one of them was like, a judge, like some lawyer who ended up being a judge. So it's like, these aren't just like people, these aren't people who like are lying to like be famous or whatever.
Right.
Like, no, I saw him. I remember he said, pick out the engineer in the crowd, and he picked, or whatever. Like,
yeah.
who has the least amount of change in their pockets? And he'd go and put his paw on the person with the least amount of change. This license plate, that the license plate one is like the big one. He would have somebody write down a random license plate, and then Jim would go and identify the car. Like, it would be written in a separate place, and he'd put his paw on the car with the license plate, and it was like this amazing.
That was
like the one that really wowed people.
He didn't see the license plate number before he identified the car.
Yeah.
Or
it was basically someone would choose a license plate from around the area, give it to Sam, and then Jim would have to go, sometimes even turning a corner, like out of sight.
Wow.
Of where, like within the town.
See,
it goes further.
I even read about that, and I thought he saw what was written and then went and picked the car out, which is still impressive, because there's all these stories of Jim basically reading foreign languages.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, because maybe you're right. I just know the way people tell the license plate story, there's a lot of variations on it, but he could do seemingly like, it's just incredible to think that, like, first of all, he would be able to read a license plate or no, but then I feel like there were also accounts where people were saying it was written down and he didn't see it. And
I would believe it either way based on what Jim's done. Seriously.
Right. And so like, that's the whole thing. Like, eventually it's the way the story goes. It's Sam Van Arsdale who wants to see what makes Jim so special and what makes it so he's able to do what he does. And so that he takes him to the University of Missouri's veterinary school and has them like run these kind of tests on him. And they're like, you know, they like to check him out, be like, okay, what the fuck is up with this dog? Like, and they're like, his head is a little bit bigger than normal, but otherwise fine. his eyes are like, if that's, that is one thing from that documentary and all the oral histories, everyone has something to say about Jim's eyes.
Legendary eyes.
Yes, they're super intelligent or super riveting eyes that look right through you. And if you look at these old pictures of Jim, I mean, his eyes are really
I'll tell you
really
what they are.
stick out.
They're benignant, Suzanne. That's what they are. Very benignant eyes he has. But yeah, I mean, you look at him and you're there's some quote I'm going to paraphrase, but it's like if anyone's ever questioning whether or not an animal has a soul, it's like look into its eyes and then try to tell me after that that they don't. And it's like you look at Jim's eyes and it's like beyond that, it's like holy shit, this motherfucker is, I don't even know, this is like a vortex or something. You get lost in those things.
Yeah. So like, yeah, they're like, yeah, okay, his eyes are very they're there, and there's nothing beyond, like as veterinarians, we don't see anything. But so then they start running all these tests, and one I forget, I want to say this right. One of the people in the department writes down, they start writing down things for him to do. I think that's maybe how it starts. And so he's doing all the things, and they're like, holy shit. And then someone writes down, they start writing things down in different languages, like in French and Spanish. And Jim is still doing it. Go identify the little girl with the red dress, or I don't know the exact ones they were, but basically he's like able to. And what's amazing about this is Sam Van Arsdale did not speak these different languages, the owner, like he didn't know this
So he
stuff.
couldn't have taught Jim. He couldn't
No,
have taught him. He just, Jim just knew.
And so then one of the professors, or someone, I don't know if it's one of the professors, but someone there hands him something in Greek, and Jim doesn't move, he doesn't do anything, and everyone's like, oh, that's weird, this is like the first time Jim's like not showing us that he's like basically,
They think he's stumped.
supernatural.
They think he's stumped.
They think he's like, oh, or he's stumped, or he's like, maybe he's the trick isn't working, because it's like still like this is some trick, like maybe there's like a hidden meat stick or some peanut butter and Sam Van Art, like I, like people are like trying, it's like magic tricks, like people are trying to figure out what the sleight of hand is or whatever. And but so Jim's not moving, and then someone finally is like, well, he's not doing anything because this is just the Greek alphabet. There's no like, so
Jim's
it's
like, what the fuck is this shit? You want me to, I'm not,
kind of like, I don't know,
you give me the Greek alphabet. What am I supposed to do with this? He
so
just
and
sits
he
down.
he's like, I don't know, yeah, good, I don't know. So yeah, he also gets sent to do the bit before, like I think it was the legislature. He goes to like the state fair in Sedalia, and like so by this point, like there are a lot of newspaper articles starting to be written about him. And this is the part that I think like people really like about the story, is that like he was approached by Hollywood. Sam, not Jim. Sam Van Arsdale was approached by producers in Hollywood to be like, hey, you should, because this is like an era, like you think about even before moving images are becoming a big deal, and like the idea of like having animals and in a movie that could like do something like this would be just the most incredible thing, right? So they offer him a bit to move to Hollywood, and have a go at it there. And Sam Van Arsdale kind of like turns it down, which he jokingly says because he didn't think the hunting would be very good in Hollywood. But also, he basically, Sam didn't really like make money off of Jim. He wasn't. He had his own business thing going on. He was making money as like a hunter and a hotel guy. But really, Jim was a part of their family. He and his wife weren't able to have kids, so Jim was like a big part of their family unit. And yeah, so and
That's it.
they loved him.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to. It just lends to the validity of the genuity of the story and everything that Jim could do. Because if anyone else, especially today, if he was like we were talking about earlier, if there's an animal like this today, my God, would someone monetize and everyone would be all over that shit.
Oh,
Somebody be,
yeah. It'd be
lots of people would be
ruined.
rich. But Van Arsdale is just like, yeah, I just kind of like letting him do his thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems like one of those things where if Jim genuinely didn't have an answer or fucked up, because I guess during some of these tests, he would mess up like once during, you know, he would do that. That would happen. But it doesn't matter. Like he's not, it's not a game, and it's not something that he has to do right. He can just do this shit.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't do it, there wouldn't be any consequences. He
I mean,
just
even
likes to
like
do it.
really well-trained dogs aren't perfect all the time and
Yeah. And
like
that's the thing
or
is like he's not
people.
even, Jim's not even trained. Like he wasn't even a trained hunter. He just knew how to hunt. And he's, and the thing with his obedience school, when everyone thought he was lazy, he was just too smart to fuck around with the bullshit. So he's just like,
He's like, I don't
I'm,
have time for this shit.
yeah. And like when he's hunting, he's like, I'm not gonna go where there's no quail. Why don't we just go where the quail is? I'll show you. And then they would go. It's just, I'm gonna make this real easy for you because we're not gonna
Yeah.
waste any time. And that's why he was so good. He just didn't fuck. He didn't fuck about, you know.
Yeah,
He
exactly.
just knew
It's
exactly
really
what was
cool.
going
He's like, I'm just really smart. I don't know what else to tell you guys. I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, and that's
Yeah.
the thing. It's like, so that's the thing that drives my friend Frank Schlegel crazy. It's like,
Right.
and what you kind of alluded to earlier about this missed opportunity, it's like, I kind of gave up on trying to understand how he did what he did. 'Cause it's like, to me, that's not so important. I don't care. But it's more like, why is he important? Like what does it mean that he could do that? And what does it mean about, I mean, I have a lot of feelings and theories about this, but it's kind of like there's a lot of different directions you could go with it. It's like, should we have asked him more questions or used him in a different way? Or like, for example, my friend Frank really likes to get into this thing, like if Jim were alive today, what would you ask him to do? You know, like don't like here you have this oracle and you're gonna go
Yeah,
ask
I love
like
that he's just like, you
where's
have the
the
oracle. You have the
it's
oracle. What are you
like right there, it's a
gonna, and
dog.
you're gonna ask him to find a fucking license plate? Like, my God, what are we doing? Your
Yeah,
friend's
which
like,
is like
don't waste your time on tricks. We got the answer right in front of us.
like trees, come on.
I
What about
love that.
like what's the meaning of life
What's the
or
meaning
like
of
is God
life? Why are
real
we here,
or like
Jim?
Yeah, exactly. Which, like, you know, maybe, and who knows if Jim would have even had answers for that. He probably would have just been like, I don't know, you're gonna have to figure that on your
That'd
own.
be
But,
very
like,
interesting to see what he would have done if you would have asked him. I mean, I don't know how you would phrase it or put it in a way where he could show you an answer.
so this is another thing my friend Frank like we still talk about this like all the time.
Yeah.
He's like, because you have to think, he has to be able to put his paw on it, right? So it's
Yeah,
like, are you gonna
right?
write like
Yeah, what
are you
is
gonna be
it?
like God on one piece of paper, not God on another, like
Yeah,
or like
put out all the holy books, ask him
yeah
to pick one or something,
right, which
or
one's right or
all the
whatever, yeah,
religious
like
figures, or I don't
yeah
know,
like
man. All the elements, anything, just like, what's the answer, man? Come on, Jim.
I would probably do like the spin the globe and have him just put his paw like, where am I supposed to go? You know,
Yeah.
I thought that'd be a fun one.
That would be pretty cool. I mean, just stop the globe, Jim, and like show me, you know?
But then it kind of also gets into this thing too, and it's funny. Oh, it's not funny that we're doing this episode this week, but like, just coincidentally, our dog Bob got really sick this week. He's 12 and he's kind of like the first dog that I ever like, and we didn't grow up with dogs. We had like a bird or whatever. And so like Bob was like the first dog that like got me into being a dog person really, and like loving a dog and like getting to know a dog. And like it gets into this thing too, like maybe it didn't matter. I don't need Jim to tell me if God's real or, you know, what path I'm supposed to take. Like that Jim was just a gift, you know. Like that's kind of like the moral of the, and I know it's kind of cheesy and whatever, but just like to be able to share his ability isn't that enough? Like I've kind of posed that to Frank a little bit. It's like
And at the
maybe I don't
time
think
he
it
was
was a
doing it. And at the time he
Yeah,
was
I
doing
don't
it
think it was a
too.
waste opportunity. He was doing exactly what he was supposed to do. He's a good dog, and he made people happy during a time when they were having really when it was really rough, you know, during the Depression. And he br just brought joy to people, which, like, you know, maybe is too underrated.
And Van Arsdale too, to his credit, wasn't trying to gouge people either. He could have. And he just shared Jim's talents to bring people like joy. So that's great.
When he, another kind of interesting thing about his story too is when he died, and by this point, you know, Sam was a well-to-do person in Marshall, and Jim was well known. When Jim died, it was like on some hunting trip. He just kind of like fell over and died, just
And he was
sad.
12. He was 12 when he
Which
passed.
also our dog is
I know. I was
12.
going to say,
Oh
and
my God, his name
your dog's name is
his name is
Bob.
Bob.
And I was
Bob
just thinking,
Barker.
I was just like, Bob Barker. Jim's name is just Jim. Like
So good.
you don't meet dogs named Jim. I mean, Jim the Wonder Dog sounds so amazing, but you never meet someone and say, "What's your dog's name?" and they say Jim.
I
That's
feel
just
like
like
those types of names are
I
becoming more popular
feel like
now,
they are too.
but like where it's just like Greg or like
Yeah, you
Gary.
gotta. That's like the most human male name you could give your dog is like Jim, Bob, Scott, like Dave, the dog, you know. I
Well,
love it.
my it's funny because my other dog is Alcides, and we call him Al. And then sometimes we'll watch our other friend's dog named Larry, and so it's like a joke that it's like we've got like a mechanic's garage over here. It's like Bob, Al, and Larry.
It's like the it's like the yeah, those are some real good names. Strong.
But yeah. So, anyways, so after he passed, Sam really wanted him to be buried in the cemetery in Marshall, Missouri, which, like, I get this. The cemetery's like, no, this is a place for people, and not for dogs. And so they say no. So Sam just, I think, arranges to have him buried just outside of the cemetery in this area. But then over the years, the cemetery expanded, and now Jim is actually within the cemetery, and it's like the most popular grave there. Like people go and leave coins, and it's like turned into this little tribute place. And also there is a museum now in Marshall too. That's like there's this really beautiful painted mural on the side of the building, and there's like the little red dress that he saw the girl wear in this museum. So you can actually see like
Oh
some
man.
gym artifacts.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah, there's like that memorial garden or whatever.
It's really nice. Yeah, they made this like memorial garden area, and like I interviewed the guy who looks over that and stuff, and I think he really just wants it to be a place where people like remember Jim, you know, and celebrate Jim's life. But I think also to kind of like bring some life into the town a little bit, because like a lot of these rural towns are really struggling, and so it's kind of like trying to get something to come, you know, keep the interest there. And so they do like events like Wonder Dog Day every year, which I went to, and it was awesome.
Is that was the event that was in your episode, right?
And this, yeah, but I didn't know what to expect, but like it kind of they were like, well, oh, you should come for interview us for Wonder Dog Day, and I'm like, yes, I will be there.
Did
Like,
you
why
take
didn't I know
Al?
about this?
Did you take Al and Bob?
We almost did, but I'm really glad we didn't, because they would they're our dogs are really bad, and so it would have just been horrible. But they
Chaos.
have like all these like it's basically like a dog show. Like they have like a dog competition, like, you know, with dog tricks and owner pet owner and dog look-alike contests, best bark, dog kissing competitions. It's really cute and fun, and It was like,
Wow.
actually, I was really sad that it didn't happen last year because that was one of the things I was like looking forward to last
Oh
spring.
man, that's a big hit
But
for that town too. I mean, COVID's ravishing like little festivals like that and stuff. It's because you can't,
yeah.
it's there, it's a big part of their local income and
Oh, it's
infrastructure.
huge.
Yeah, but
It's
you know,
huge.
hopefully, you know, it all comes back. But that festival in your episode, there were some really intriguing moments
Yeah,
when
I
you roll up to a couple of strangers who I believe are older men with their stories of their own dogs and Jim, and they break down crying, basically. Well, not break down, but they shed some tears because the story of Jim affects them so much, and like the hopefulness and the kindness that he exuded, and the happiness that and the joy that he brought the community. And this one guy is just talking about how he doesn't think society today really does, like they don't embrace like these random acts of kindness anymore. Like people are just aren't as nice as they used to be. And there's like Jim kind of embodied that joyful spirit, and it affects him, and he's like carries it into his real life. He's like, I just want to be like a good person, basically, because of Jim, you know?
I know that's what I'm saying. Like once you learn about the story, it's kind of like it can get really deep. And that, so like I mean I interviewed kids at the festival and I, you know, I covered the dog show and it was fun and you know, it was like interviewing people and just randomly came across two guys, you know, like just going up to them like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" You know, like talk to me about why you're here for, you know, Wonder Dog Day. And it's like, yeah, like you said, like they opened up to me in ways that was kind of was surprising to me because you know you're just standing there like oh my God this guy's like weeping talking to me about how much he loves his dog and how much the story of Jim reminds him to enjoy simple things and to be a better person and like it's I mean it was really like humbling and
Right.
made me get it more. I was like cool, like I don't know this person but I feel like this person and like we're friends, like
Right.
you we get each other, you know, like and then to go to the second person and have them do like the exact same thing, like I was like, oh my God, this is like it was exactly what I was hoping to find, I think, in a way, and I was in the sense that like, yeah, it's like Jim's stories can be really healing, I think, for people and having
Yeah.
being able to love a dog or care about other people is something like it that maybe we don't appreciate enough. I do think having like I want to say this like the right way, but like having a pet people or people who take care of other things have a different sense of understanding and compassion, I think. You know, it like makes you a better person, I think, to like have to be outside of yourself to care for something. You know what I mean? Not everyone does that.
No. And a lot of this, and one of the guys that you spoke with, and this is another thing too about the connection, and plus just the story of how you meet your companion and your pet, and I mean humans in general, but the story of the man who lost his teenage son, I believe, in a car accident, and then he came upon the dog that like shortly after that kind of filled the void. It was very important, and he didn't think he would wanted a dog. And you know, like that, stories like that are abundant and very real, and the connection is super tight. Everyone's, I mean, if you're not tight with your animal, I mean you got the wrong animal, I guess. But
I think a lot
Jim.
of people, yeah, a lot of people would say that it's like they kind of get into the like it found me or like we've met each other at the right time. You know, everyone has those stories about how when they came across their pet or I guess any type of significant person or something that it's like it was the right time or like which also alludes to like unexplainable things. I can't explain why that happened or like why our dog was running down the street the day that it did and we happened to take him in and he was like a feral freak and 12 years later
Still there.
he's like you know a huge part of my life, you know. So
Absolutely. My cats, both of them who have since passed, Mama in Ohio, showed up on a box on my porch on my birthday, like
Wow.
just
Wow, that's
riddled.
something.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I was not looking to have pets. I was not looking to have any pets at all, actually, or any responsibility in my life at all. And then Ohio just passed the day after Christmas, and he was,
I'm sorry.
my gosh, how old was he? He was 14 years old,
Oh, wow.
you know? So, and that just happened. 14 years later, he was my dude, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't think I
They
needed
don't live
him
long
or,
enough.
yeah, I know. And but hey, it shit happens. And Jim the Wonder Dog somehow showed up in Sam's life. And then the next thing you know, he's predicting seven straight Kentucky Derby winners in a
The World
row,
Series.
the World Series, the
Unborn
Kentucky.
babies, like he knew if it
Yeah.
was a boy or girl. That stuff I was like, what? But
Yeah, he
I couldn't,
was.
like, that's like part of the lore I could not verify, but that people also like to throw in there.
The baby stuff's 50-50, you know?
Yeah.
Like if he predicted
I don't know why that for is like my, well, I'm like, I don't know about that.
if he predicted like length or weight or time of birth, that'd be crazy. But the Kentucky Derby stuff actually is really impressive because I guess between 1930 and 36, he predicted every winner and most of them were favorites, but he also predicted two long shot winners. And the way that they would do it is he would seal the envelopes with the names of the horse. And then Jim would walk up to one and put his paw on it. And then they would put the envelope in a safe. And then after the race, they would open the envelope and reveal who Jim had picked. Which I guess if the safe wasn't in plain view the whole time, you could say it's sketchy, but I'm sure it was. But that's how it was done. And he did it 7 years in a row. It's like this, and yeah, he did predict the World Series in 1936. And I think he picked the Yankees who were favored to win, but he picked them. But at the same time, it's like, all right, he would do these like silly tricks, but he would also. He was psychic. He was a psychic dog. And the tricks that he would do, they would give him a note in French and it would translate into, "Is there a Bible in the crowd?" And he would go up and find a pastor. It's like, how does he know that that person is a pastor? He doesn't
No.
know. And like, when you say, if when you're sick, who do you go to? And he finds a doctor. He doesn't, that person's not wearing a stethoscope around their neck and a white coat. Like he just went up to a person that happened to be a doctor. Like that, if you asked a human being to do that, you can't. That's like, what is,
Well,
what,
that's
who?
what's also interesting to me too, because it's like this, a few people, I think Nancy Daly, one of the authors, one of the books that I talked to, you know, was kind of going into the how whole of thought. And one thing she was talking about is like maybe it's, you know, reincarnation or but it's like even if you were reincarnated, you wouldn't know some of that stuff. I mean,
No,
like that's a
s
doesn't
no.
solve that for me. Psychic, I mean, oh,
Reading
and
foreign
another thing,
languages, yeah, sure, you could have that knowledge. But yeah,
a
picking
few
out.
people have been like maybe he was just really in tune, because you know, we a lot of people think that we underestimate how smart dogs really are, and like how much they pick up on body language and intuitive stuff. And like, there's theories that humans and dogs have co-evolved together. That it was, or like, it's not like we just domesticated them. You know, it's like that it was more of like a mutual process of the ways that we developed. But even that doesn't really explain that either, because I mean, some of that stuff they're asking him to do, like Sam didn't even know that, and other people there didn't even know that. So it's like he would have had to be, yeah, like he was psychic or the Oracle or some other being that is beyond any type of understanding. And that's the other thing that got this kind of gets into. It's like, oh, I forgot to say this. Yeah, like at the veterinary school, they're like, you know, they run the tests, they have them do all this stuff, and like they're like, so what's the verdict? They're like, I don't know. Like they this is like the most incredible dog I've ever seen, and it's probably something that you know, we may never see again. Like, how often does something like this come along?
So
Which
ask him some important question.
so like is climate change real? Yes. trying to think of like some other things that could actually help us make a better future, but we're fucked.
We could have gotten some answers, but
Like, yo,
instead
this psychic dog is telling us to stop polluting the water table. like, I don't know why. I feel like that would have gone over well.
man, yeah, because it's beyond human understanding anything that he ever did, and it still is. And if he existed today, we could ask him whatever the fuck we want to ask him. We'd probably still be just as baffled in terms of, like, I mean, where does he come from? Is he a fucking alien inhabiting a dog and just here for
Yeah.
fun? Is he fucking around? Is he fucking with us?
Have you seen the
But yeah, I mean, seriously, there's just imagine being Sam and watching his dog field these questions to which he has no understanding of what the answer could possibly be himself. And he's just watching his dog react
Yeah.
to these crazy questions. And just like, I'm just as blown away as you are, you know, like this is in real time here. This dog knows this shit. And
Yeah, and so and I realized we never said like we mentioned Bobby the Wonder Dog, I think, 'cause like there's no other Wonder Dogs out there. The only other Wonder Dog that like got, I guess is called a Wonder, and I'm not trying to diss on Bobby. Bobby was cool. But
Bobby's
like
cool.
Bobby's way cool, but his story is that like he got misplaced on a vacation trip and made a really long, I think it was like in Indiana, somewhere in the Midwest,
Yeah,
and they were
Indiana to
from
Oregon.
Oregon. Okay, yeah, so they basically he got lost and then like found his way home, so he got lost in the first place. So that's not cool,
That's
like come
not
on.
very smart.
That's not really smart. I have dogs that run off and don't come back, and that's like that's bad dog territory,
That's
like
bad. He's a bad dog.
but he came back, so that's good dog territory, and across many states, which is incredible. And it's like that, you know, beautiful story that, you know, they found each other, but it's like he wasn't a psychic.
No, he was just Bobby was just his instincts were right on, and he traveled 2,500 miles across the country back to his hometown. But he and his family, you know what they did? They took up the offer to be in the movies, Suzanne.
Is that where the
Bobby was in a movie because he predated Jim by just they were around at the same time, but Bobby was older because Bobby
And
was
I know
born.
it's not a competition, but
No. Bobby was born in 1921 and he died in 1927. He wasn't that old. So he died 2 years after Jim was born. But yeah, he was in a movie called The Call of the West.
Interesting.
He
You
played
know,
himself.
that just got me thinking of another thing about Jim's story that's kind of important to note. Around that time, especially in like rural areas and stuff, like the way that this whole idea now that we treat our dogs like family and like let them sleep in our beds and like totally rule our worlds in this way was not necessarily like a concept that tons of people did then. One guy I talked to was telling me about the fact that like, you know, a lot of dogs were just kind of considered working dogs. You know, it's like, oh yeah, you're gonna help me hunt, you like live in the barn or live outside or whatever, you know, or like, but like that Jim was really a part of the Van Arsdale family. Like he, you know, lived in the house and was treated like a family member, much like how I think, like I imagine I treat my dogs, you know, where it's like I talk to them and hang out with them all the time, and like they're like my world in this way. But like a lot of people in that time were like, I mean, and I'm sure it varies from family to family and area to area, but like it wasn't, it's not like how it is today, I guess, is kind of the other part that like is kind of interesting.
Right. Yeah, because Jim was definitely a hunting dog, and I'm sure treated like one, but once he, I mean, Van Arsdale seems like, yeah, he was just treated like a child, you know, like
Yeah, he was like their kid.
they were best friends, it seemed like.
I just remembered some other story. I guess they took him on some trip and he got into some trouble. I feel like maybe it was like in Florida or something. Like some people
It's
tried to
always
steal
Florida. Of
Jim. I know.
course. It's
Some people
always
tried to steal Jim and they were
Florida.
like
Florida
fearful.
man steals Wonder Dog.
They were fearful for Jim's life at one point, and there was like this controversy. I feel bad I don't remember the details around that, but that
I
was
didn't
like
read about
another
that.
there's some part of the story where like some people, like Jim was getting threats or something, and it was
Oh
some
my
Florida man, of
God.
course, and I don't know what
Because
the
he was,
details.
they thought he was of the devil or something.
Who knows?
Or they just wanted him to make money, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, I think maybe it was like some misunderstood trick or something that exposed some other thing. I feel bad.
I honestly wouldn't doubt if some people thought this was some like blasphemous evil shit.
Some big hustle, you know, or some big hustle that meant,
Or
you
he
know,
was
that Sam was maybe
possessed.
trying to like, yeah, that he was possessed, or that Sam was maybe trying to show them that they're stupid or take advantage of them in some way, or you know, like any type of kind of
Yeah.
roadside swindle. So people, I think, were really skeptical or like came with their own, because you know, word got out like, oh, that dog I heard about, I'm gonna go see it, you know. So people kind of would come with maybe not the best intentions sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a different time. People were in a bad way. And plus, yes, religious fanaticism was
Yeah.
always a problem.
Yeah.
You couldn't, oh man. Are you, I mean, we could get into it, but yeah, I mean, you couldn't do anything special. You couldn't be touched in any sort of special favorable way with any sort of odd talents, or you are a devil person, a devil worshiper, or something like.
Right.
Terrible! What a terrible time to be a special talented person or dog. People will think
Wait,
you're.
so I have a question for you. Because I don't have a whole lot more I don't think. I've
I
just
think.
checked over my notes to make sure that I have covered all the very important parts of Jim's story, but the most important part is the part I'm about to ask you.
Okay.
And it's to, I feel like I do this in honor of my friend Frank for kind of like instilling this in me as a Frank, as a Jim fanatic. But okay, if Jim were alive today, what would you ask him?
Would I ask him? I think I'd ask him something about himself.
Like what?
I think I would ask him what we all want to know, which is, who are you and where do you come from?
He has to be able to put his paw on it.
He has to be able to put his paw on it. Okay, so if I put like a model spaceship in front of him and a few planets, the whole solar system in front of him in the form
He'd be
of
like, but that
like
could be confusing. He's like, I'm not plastic.
a second
Like,
grade project. What planet are you from? And he puts his paw on it. Yeah, I guess you're right, man. That kind of throws me through a loop here. I mean, I mean, that would be what I would want to know straight up is, who are you? Who the fuck are you?
What if he was just like, I'm Jim?
He just looks in a mirror.
What if he said, what if he said, Grayson, my name's Jim?
I'd faint.
He'd be like, well, shit, I already knew that. Wait, I didn't learn anything there except for that
Well,
you could talk, which that's new.
I would read, yeah. If he did say, "I'm just Jim," I would read way deep into that, and I'd say, "All right, well, you know, I'm just Jason, and that's okay. And we're all just who we are, Jim. Thanks for letting me know that. See you in the next life, you know."
That's nice.
Yeah, but seriously, I mean, I'd make it all about him if I had
Yeah,
to ask
that's
him a
like
question.
when I really thought about it, because when I was at the Wonder Dog Day thing and like there's all these dogs there, and I was like trying to imagine, like, okay, what if Jim just like walked on the scene right now, the Wonder Dog Day, and it's just
Oh
like,
my God.
I
Could you
got this, and
imagine?
starts like, I mean, like these dogs at Wonder Dog Day were, it was really sweet, but they were also really bad. So,
Yeah.
really
Bad
struggling with
dogs.
some base. It's hard when there's a lot of other dogs around, a lot of distractions. I get it,
Yeah.
but so it was like it really made me appreciate how amazing Jim did what he did. But I was like, man, if he came, okay, what would I ask him? And I'd probably, this is like so me, I'd probably ask him like what he wants to eat or something.
What would you like? Are you
Like, what do you
hungry? Are
want to
you
eat?
thirsty?
You hungry? Thirsty? You want a belly rub? Okay.
You like the name Jim? Do you want a new name? Anything?
Well, I think as any pet owner knows, that your name, you're gonna have a ton of names. I mean, how there's so many nicknames. You know, Jim
Yeah.
was not his only name. It was
No,
probably
Jim.
like
Yeah. Just like I was saying.
Jim-a-doo-doo, like Mr. J, and you know all the funny names we come up
Every
with.
pet has at least a half dozen names, at least minimum.
Yeah.
So I was saying Ohio's Momo or Momo's, you know, it makes zero sense. But that's my dog Winston growing up was Bun or Bunsen or Buns. It makes, but his name's Winston, you know. It's just stuff like that
Yeah.
happens.
Yeah, Bob is like Mr. Muffins, Mr. Sniffers, Bobbins, Harriman. He's got a lot of
And
different ones.
it's just so anyone who has ever had a pet, you know, this stuff, it's hard to even remember where these names come from.
Oh yeah.
They just kind of become a part of the thing. It's just I don't even know why we started calling them that, but that's what we call them sometimes, or all
Yep.
the time.
I do wonder what some of Jim's nicknames were now.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, hopefully he wasn't too busy, you know. I feel like they weren't too business-like, you know, like it's all about, we got a gig today, Jim. We gotta go.
It
We
kind of
gotta
made it sound
go.
like he was like, it was just, he was always with him. And so it'd be like, while he'd be waiting for something, he was like, hey, you want to see something? You want to see
Right.
my dog do a cool trick? You know? It wasn't like they were like putting up flyers and this and that. But what would happen is sometimes word would get out that he was at a place and
Right.
then people would come
They would
because
come
they
find
heard that he
him.
was at some
Yeah.
hotel or, yeah.
That's pretty great, man. Do you think just animals in general, Jim is a very smart, very, very smart dog. And you've mentioned that your dog, not so smart.
No, so Bob is smart. My
But
dog, Al is not smart.
oh, Al's
But
not so smart. Okay.
he's very happy.
That's
Bob
what
is
I was going
very
to get to. I was going to get
smart.
to. Do you think Jim in his 12 years on the planet was a happy dog because he knew so much, or do you feel like his talent was a burden on his soul, his very, very old soul? I mean, because to me, it seems maybe Jim is so smart. He know like he's here to do what he's doing, I would assume, and having fun with it, I
Yeah.
think. But what do you think?
That's a good question. Like, yeah, I think about this sometimes. Like we've talked about my animals before, but like, yeah, like my dog Al is very sweet. Doesn't seem to be super concerned around world beyond his bone in the backyard and his crunchies, his bland ass crunchies. He's like doesn't like you try to give him like cheese and he's like What's I want crunchy, you know, like it just does not
Same
compute.
thing every day, all day, same thing,
But
same
like
thing.
Bob, on the other hand, is like a poet, you know, and you can tell by the way he like looks out the window when we're like on tour. Like he's like so and whether I think and I think both of them are happy in their own ways. But I think with Jim, it's like I almost feel like I mean, because I do think he's kind of in that more oracle realm. It's like it doesn't. It's almost like it's like it doesn't matter. Like, feel like he wouldn't. It wouldn't be about him, you know. It's like I am here to. This is my purpose, you know. Like this is my
Yeah,
calling is
I'm
to
fulfilling
be
this thing.
here, and I am fulfilling. I feel like I see him as like this orb of like a. Like, yeah, I guess do I have I ever thought about like would any oracle like be happy or sad or I don't know. I mean, it's probably just like I am what I
Right.
am.
I accept this.
Yes, I accept this path. I am here.
I'm here. I'm a vessel.
Little Dixie's gonna win the Kentucky Derby.
But it does make me wonder though, because like Jim died suddenly. He just kind of collapsed. Do you think in all of his wisdom, I mean, because he just seemed to drop dead. Do you think Jim knew? He didn't seem to give any warnings. He couldn't predict his own death. In
Yeah.
all of his wisdom, the poor fella, he just fell
Which
out.
maybe it's more just about like time. It was time. Yeah, it was like that. He was here for just a short amount of time. And I mean, in some ways, wouldn't that be the way you'd want to just go? Like,
Just go, yeah.
not like having to be shoved pills down your throat every hour. Like, we're not every hour, every couple times a day now with Bob and like wanting to make sure he's pooping and.
Right. Yeah,
Eating, you know, you think,
apparently Jim
I
just
don't know.
like jumped out of the truck and took a few steps and like
And that
dropped.
was it.
That
Yeah.
was
He was
it.
like, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Which is
But
sad.
A. Yeah, I wonder what his last trick was.
Ooh, I
I
did
wonder what was
too.
the last wisdom Jim gave to the world. What was his last little bit there that day or the day before or that week? What gems did he give Sam? You know?
I don't know. I know it would have happened in Missouri because I think like he did try to take him to some vet near Sedalia, and, but it was too late, or it was already he was already gone. And
Yeah, it seems like
that's
he didn't make it too far after that fallout. But I mean, that's Jim, man.
oh, I forgot to say one other thing.
Yeah.
Well, because I don't know how long it took before they outfitted the hotel that the Van Arsdales ran into what is now the museum, but it was called the Ruff Hotel.
Yeah, Hotel Ruff.
Ruff, which is some family name, I guess, of the owner's previous, like that wasn't, it was named that before the Van Arsdales came along
It had
and had
nothing to
this
do with
dog.
dogs. It had nothing to do with
No.
dogs.
Yeah. So, which is, and then it like kind of sat in disrepair for a long time. I forget. It eventually burnt down, and that's where like the garden is. But the place next to it was some historic building that was like a part of that block now, too. But I think it took a little bit of time for them to actually be like, we should make a gym monument, you know? Like, I don't think it
Right.
happened immediately because I think the Ruff Hotel
That's so
was still
funny.
around for a while.
There's a I did see a picture of them standing outside the Ruff. And that's an interesting name for a hotel to begin with, because it doesn't
Yeah,
sound very
right.
inviting. But I mean, unless it is a dog hotel,
No,
which
it was
are
a kind of a
very
fancy spot right off the square,
that was a
in
downtown
the center of
hotel right
Marshall.
there. Yeah.
Yeah, the
Yeah,
Ruff
I mean,
Hotel.
that's a very cute name for, I mean, there are dog hotels now, obviously, you
Yeah.
know, but
Oh, and that's another thing. They're trying to make their town square. That's like another part of the Jim the Wonder Dog Society, is that what it's called? They're trying to like get Marshall on the map as a dog friendly destination. So they're putting like dog water bowls all around
Oh, smart.
and trying to make like, I think all the business, there's like all these patio things. So you can, they're very like, you can have your dog to come eat at different places. I think that's like part of what they're trying to do. So, which is great for me, because that's one thing that pisses me off whenever we're traveling with our dogs, is like this whole like no dogs allowed
Right.
bullshit. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, you should they should do what Silverton, Oregon does.
What do they do?
Inspired by Bobby the Wonder Dog, have an annual pet parade
So
and
that's
to
okay.
celebrate your pets. And
That's what Wonder Dog Day was, I think, gearing up to. Yeah,
that's
that they had
good.
like a little jaunt. I think it was really hot, and everyone was like, kind of just, they
Marshall and
just played.
Silverton need to be like sister cities. It's
I was just thinking this.
they
They should
need to
like,
connect. It's the same shit.
if my job wasn't working as a reporter for a public radio station, I would try to do some type of public relations or outreach for
Oh
the Jim the
man.
Wonder Dog Museum
Well,
and help them.
we can work on it together, because I got Silverton's very important to me. But the Bobby the Wonder Dog is buried here in Portland, and there's a whole effort. It's very similar to Jim's story about like how he wasn't allowed to be buried in the cemetery and now he is. Bobby is in Portland, and Silverton's trying to get him to Silverton, because there's no reason for him to be in Portland, but his memorial is here. So there's an effort to get Bobby to Silverton. It's like, what's the deal with these wonder dogs not being buried where they ought to be buried, you know? Show some
Well, it's
fucking respect.
right. It's but and you know, I think there's like more of an understanding nowadays about like, I mean, even like I wasn't aware of this until more recently, kind of for sad circumstances, but that like people, you can get your pet cremated and stuff. I was like, oh wow, that's like,
Oh,
I
we
guess I
did
should know
that.
that.
We did
Okay.
that. We had Ohio
Which,
cremated in like this humane I guess it's like a green situation, like the methods
yeah.
in which they do it. Anyway, that's a service that's offered here in the Portland area, and I went and picked them up a couple days after he passed. They came to our house and like put him down
Oh.
for us and like
Yeah.
took him away and cremated him and whatever. Anyway, that service does exist. It's like compassionate care.
Yeah.
Very
Yeah. I
nice.
mean, and I think I learned about that more recently too, because we had a friend who had to do that with their dog, and I was like, oh, that's really great. Because like, I know a few friends who've just gone somewhere down near the river and dug a hole and like, you know,
Yeah.
said some words, and that's good too. And it's just like, it's just hard to deal with that stuff though, because it's like, it is, it's emotional.
It is emotional, but if you
But
wanna, if
then also
you,
logistically, it's like, where the fuck am I supposed to put my dog?
I
Like,
know. Yeah, if you don't own the property, you know, it's this,
right.
it's a bad deal. But if you want to keep your pet with you for the rest of your life, there are options now to have them humanely put down in your home, which is a very nice, depending on where you live, of course. But
Yeah,
it's stuff
which
like
I
that's
love
very
that.
important, you know. Like, I didn't know it existed either until Ohio got sick. And I was like, oh, okay. It was very COVID friendly. Everyone was really nice. And it was definitely like the best case scenario for the
Yeah.
situation. And I encourage anyone who's going through that to take that route if that's what you want to do. On that note, man, that's a somber note,
Yeah,
Suzanne. But
jeez.
that's, I
Sorry,
mean,
yeah.
that's, I
We
mean,
went there.
where else to end but death, right?
Yeah, it's gonna happen to all of us.
It's gonna
One
happen
thing I
to.
did think about, well, I was thinking about when Jim died. One thought I had was like, I wondered if he it transformed to a different thing or a
Yeah, where's
different,
Jim?
like,
Who's
you know what I
Jim
mean?
now?
Like, is it, did he move to some like bush
A
over in
burning
like,
bush, yeah.
I don't, you know, like, is it, or like, is, yeah, or is, did it get moved to some other, where did that energy end
Yeah,
up? I don't know,
yeah.
man.
That's a spirit that doesn't die. Jim,
Is it in a different dimension or a different, like, yeah,
yeah,
plane?
Yeah, he might not. He might that spirit, he, she, it, whatever, it might not even be on Earth anymore. It's
Right.
just part of the oneness and went to another. It might not be a dog. Might not be a
Right.
dog the next time. It's probably been a few different entities
I
since
wonder
Jim.
if it ever happens again, if there will be the knowledge and foresight of anyone around to be like, we've been through this before. There's record of this. Like, we should, let's not make the same mistake twice. Let's make sure we honor this being and ask it some important questions. Ask it what it wants to eat.
Yeah, well, history, it just you think you do things right, you know.
Yeah.
Spanish flu 1918, you get a pandemic now. We're not doing anything right. No one's doing anything right. You don't learn from history
I think
anymore.
about that all the time. I mean, because my podcast isn't just about exploring the Jim the Wonder Dog. It's actually about like other local history
I
stuff.
was going to get into
But
that. Let's wrap it up.
yeah.
You mentioned Nature Boys has a new album coming out in the next few months, and your
Yeah.
podcast. What's the deal?
Yeah. So, People's History of Kansas City, it's in our second season, and it's not like the type of thing where it's like you have to listen to all of them to understand like some narrative arc. Each episode is its own little nugget of a story or moment, and a lot of it is kind of framed around recognizing people who weren't recognized in their time for the amazing things that they contributed to shaping our world. So like, and unfortunately, lots of times those people are people of color and women, and because the way that history has been preserved, it's those certain stories get put on a different pedestal than the stories of people like of working people or people who weren't maybe in certain positions of power. So like this, the podcast is kind of designed to like highlight everyone else, what everyone
Right.
else was doing, but also it kind of gets into like the systemic reasons of like why certain stories don't get honored or told or preserved. So it's been really fun to work on, and like each one is a super heavy research load, and try to but I try to keep it light and fun, so it's not like work to listen to, and like I spare you from reading all the 500 page long dissertations on something, and try to pull out the most interesting nuggets and make it about a 20 to 30 minute little episode.
No,
So
they're nice.
even
They're nice and condensed and perfect. I love stuff like that because I just like learning. It's like I don't live in Kansas City. I don't have any
yeah.
ties to Kansas City except you and some friends. And I've been there, of course. But I like learning about anything. So
Like,
to
who
just,
doesn't like to learn new things? I guess
yeah,
it's
it's
like it's
like,
kind of based on that idea. If you do it in a way that's fun, then and like you make learning fun.
right.
It
Yeah.
sounds so elementary, but it's so true.
Yeah, but you know, like you said, every episode is definitely unto itself. So you learn something new about the region, and you learn about different people and different aspects. Like I listened to the Lincoln High episode, which
Oh,
was
cool.
like pretty cool. It's like I don't know anything about that shit. I don't know anything about those neighborhoods, or but hearing the people tell those stories about how the city's changing. And things like that.
Right.
I mean, like I can relate to that being in a town that's changing constantly.
So
Some
one thing I try to do in each episode is make there be some kind of universalness about it, so that that those types of connections can be made, you know, because I do think there's people are like, oh, that's not my city, but it's like, well, that's there's more connection and things going on than I think people really
Right. It is your
give
city
credit.
if you really, I mean, it's I, the story of one city like Kansas City is the story of a lot of cities and small towns throughout the country, and it's like interesting to hear, like, oh, you know, this is where I mean it weaves this nice thread of it kind of ties us all together. It's like, oh, we're not alone in feeling this is happening in the Midwest here, same shit,
Yeah.
you
Yeah,
know.
exactly.
You know, it's
And that's
a
like the thing too that I'm trying to, I think my dream would be, I only have like a couple more episodes left for this season, and then we'll take a break and reconvene, but like my dream would be that this would be kind of a model of storytelling, that local storytelling that other people could do in other places. Because it's like, it's maddening to me to think about all these stories in all these communities that are so like the ones I'm uncovering, that I'm like, if no one tells this, or because a lot of these people who remember these things or have access to these stories are like only getting older and, not going to be around forever. Like, so it's like, I really like really hope that's like my dream, I guess, is that more and more people, it inspires more people to do more local storytelling in kind of that vein. Because I think people, there's this unfortunate kind of attitude sometimes within the industry of like, if it's not national, or if it's not breaking news, or or then it's, we shouldn't be telling it. It's like, I just have never really operated in that way. So
No,
anyways,
it's great.
it's kind of
And
like a dream situation for me right now,
no, and
but
it, you're doing really good work. Like, the show is really well produced and it's awesome. And it's,
thanks.
I like listening to it and learning. And yeah, it is important because it's just, if these stories aren't told in the manner that you were telling them, it's not, I mean, they could be lost or. But it's nice to shed these the light on them and have them these conversations now, and just remind, especially if I'm sure your listenership is mostly Kansas City, so
Like
it's
the region, or people who've, or like transplants, people who've left, or
yeah,
yeah.
it's great. I mean, I listen to Portland centric podcasts as much as I can, the ones that have been produced. And I love it because it's the more you know about where you live and the history, it's good stuff to know. It's
Oh,
got.
Danny's what's up? Yeah. Hey, say hi to Jason.
Hey, Danny. What's
That
up?
was okay. I'll stop. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Perfect timing. We were just about ready to wrap it up.
Yeah, sorry. I forget what else. Yeah, check out my podcast if you want to, or don't.
That was Danny from Nature Boys, who
Yeah, right.
has
Oh,
they.
actually, you would be really, you'll really like the next episode I'm doing. It's about this labor organizer who has a really badass militant. She did a lot of badass militant shit in the 1910s in Kansas City, and she's like not Googleable, like it's that type of things. It's like she just was this like lady who started a waitress union and like organized black and white laundry workers for this big strike, and like she was totally a badass, and
Sweet. And
I
that's
really
the next
feel
one
like
that's
it.
coming out.
Yeah, that's the one I just finished writing when I was talking to you
Oh,
on Friday.
great. So everyone find A People's History of Kansas City and follow and listen and look out for the new episode. It's going to be
Yeah.
fantastic. And look out for that new Nature Boys record coming out in the next few months.
Yes.
But that's, I think we've done it. I think we did the Jim the Wonder
Yeah, I
Dog
think
thing.
we're
And
good.
yeah. So
Thank you for letting me talk about Jim the
it's very important, I feel.
and spread the Jim word, because I feel like it's important. It's what you'll see if you listen to this and you're like, you find yourself wanting to talk about Jim and you want the world to know about Jim, then I've done my job.
Right. If you want to make someone's day, just bring up Jim.
Yeah.
Tell the story of Jim real quick. Brighten someone's day.
It's true.
Cool. Well, thank you,
Well,
Suzanne.
yeah, thank you. I love you. It's so good to see you and
Love you
miss you.
too. Likewise. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
And yeah, I'll yeah, until then. There it is. There it was. Suzanne Hogan and Jim the Wonder Dog. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. And I hope you are a Jim fanatic, very much like I am now. It's kind of a hard story to not get behind and not get excited about because it is wholesome, but it's also very weird. And it's also, it's just strange. Where did Jim come from? Where did he come from? Have you known an animal like Jim? Have you known anyone like Jim? Anything like Jim? I don't know. I would love to hear from you. Everyone's got crazy pet stories. Write me, lostrhetoricpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you about anything, especially about this episode. But you can find me on Instagram at lostrhetoricpodcast. Follow that page. Write me on Instagram if you feel like it. Comment on all my past posts. Tell everyone you know about the show. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Get on Apple Podcasts, leave a rating, leave a review. 5 stars, if you would, that would be greatly appreciated. And listen to Nature Boys and listen to A People's History of Kansas City. Listen to all of the amazing things Suzanne is doing in her life. And yeah, check out the Spotify playlist. I'm going to put some music on there. Just search LR039. And yeah, get on lostrhetoric.buzzsprout.com to check this episode out and all of the show notes and all the links that I'm going to post to Suzanne's stuff and everything else for that matter. But that's it, folks. That's it for the week. Thank you so much for being here with me. I really appreciate it. And can't wait till next week. You know, as usual, got another good topic. Got a really special, awesome, amazing guest lined up for you. And I know you're going to really like it. So until then, please, everyone, stay sane and stay safe.